Welcome back to Biblical Leadership. Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Ferreira. I've seen too where even the push to have women become sort of the head of the household in our society has done a disservice to both the men and the women. Because what that ends up doing is it places on the shoulders a weight of responsibility that was that God never designed the women to do. And so if you have ladies who are having to carry that load, there's going to be resentment. There's going to be a sourness to what they're having to do, even though they're doing the things that needs to be done. So as men, we have to teach the younger generation what their purpose is, what are their roles, and how to do it not only effectively, but do it with humility and also with wisdom and discernment. And that doesn't naturally happen. That's a taught thing. That's something that is passed on from one generation to the next. And so what our society has done is tried to separate. And I've said this before, if Satan can remove the man from the household, he can take and devour the family. He can destroy society. And Kevin, you did mention a scripture early on, and I want to read it. It's Proverbs 11:14. Without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. And let's talk about a little bit many advisors. You know, having we're not a one man show. You know, I need Kevin. I also need Laura. I need my wife. I need my parents. I need the church. I need people to speak into my life so that I have many advisors, but ultimately the responsibility for my family, it weighs solely on my shoulders, right? I'm not going to place that responsibility on my wife, that she wasn't designed for that. And I'm going to teach my children to do the same. So we have to, not only with humility, but wisdom and discernment, we have to be able to make decisions. We have to stand up for what is right. We have to stand against what's wrong. And if we don't have a good biblical foundation, we're on sinking sand. The sand's always shifting. If you look over the last 30 years, you'll see a shift in our society. You know, being that we're in our middle age, as people, we can look back and see the changes. If you're in your 20s, if you're in your teens, everything that you're looking at is immediate. You have no point of reference. You are in your point of reference. But from our perspective, the way we've seen this world change, we can see the problems that put us in where we are today.
Yeah, amen. It goes back to, as I said earlier, I believe it's that men, and not just men, women too, but we're focusing on men today, that men have never understood the original intention of God. And I think that so many men, that's why they lean into the world, because they don't understand that if they would lean into the word, if they would understand God's original intention was for man to represent God in the world, to have dominion and authority in the world, not over people, but over creation for God, to manage the earth for God. I think that there really is something in the heart of men. They want to fight dragons. I think there's really something in the heart of men that they want to battle giants. And in our culture, the only way you can really do that is through a video game, right? And so I think men have lost something primal in them, right? Something very deep within them that they want to. And so what they do, I believe, understandably so, but wrongly so, then they begin to try to dominate people. Mm. They begin to focus all of their energy in their physical being, right? Not knowing what to do with the strength that God has given them. And so, you know, gentlemen, you know, one of my monikers as a coach is that I'm always saying to people that I look at things spiritually, emotionally, physically, and relationally. And so I just want to say to the listener, spiritually, you need to understand God's intention. And yes, get into the Word of God. Get into some men's group that are really going to dig down. You know, there's some really good books out there that are getting back to God's original blueprint, because God created all men with a purpose, right? All men have a similar purpose, but every man has an individual assignment. You know, emotionally, I understand that not having a role model can set us up. It doesn't, but it can set us up for failure. But I'm going to tell you, when I was raising my children, gentlemen, there was no internet. I had to go and research how to be a good mom. Why? Because I came from a life of chaos. And I knew that I didn't want to replicate. So I knew what not to do. But knowing what not to do is not sufficient, listener. It's you got to learn what to do. And so I researched and researched and researched, and boy, did that really pay off. So I just want to say to the man leaning into this conversation, you have an emotional responsibility to you, and you need to do the research. You get to do the research so that you can claim your rightful inheritance. I would say physically, do some research that has come out that there are so many chemicals and substances in our systems, you know, the water, the plastics, the microplastics, that it is affecting the testosterone of men. It's actually in some way demasculizing them. But, you know, there's a saying, guys, the soy boys. But, you know, that's not so far off. You know, the soy boys, and I don't use that the way somebody else might use it, but it means the snowflakes, right? The guys that are more like girls. But, you know, there's some truth to that. Because a proper diet, a God-ordained diet, creates hormones. Like, you know, guys, I'm sure you know, but the listener may not know. If you don't have cholesterol, you cannot create sex hormones. So people that go vegetarian and vegan, well, they actually cannot create sex hormones. And they become, you know, they become the soy drinkers. And, you know, this creates estrogen and it's a problem. And so physically, I would say to a man, research what builds testosterone, research what tears down testosterone, right? Because again, we're looking at where you're at from a spiritual and emotional and a physical, but also a relational place. And here's what I've observed, gentlemen. I've observed that men have begun to act more like ladies in this way. I loved it then, and I still love it when a man meets another man and shakes his hand. And especially if he not only shakes his hand, but he puts his hands on his shoulder. There's something so masculine about that. I see it so rarely. So I'm going to say to the man, begin to practice masculine things. You know, doing anything for the first time is hard. But once you begin to do it, I promise you, you're going to begin to gain back something that rightfully belongs to you. See, women don't go around shaking hands, putting her hands on men's shoulders. Men do that. It's a male thing. And, you know, just like men used to tip their hats at women, and that's nobody wears hats anymore. So I understand that nobody's, you know, tipping their hat at me. Okay. But see, there's these things in our culture that have moved further and further away as all people become more and more isolated. So I'm going to say to the listener, make a phone call to a guy that's lost his job, lost his marriage. Don't leave that for your wife to do. You do it. You reach out to another male. These are male attributes that create a sense of pride in a man that he has comforted another man. And doing something as simple as a handshake. Now, what Kevin and Joseph and sometimes I are talking about is the stuff that's way underneath that stuff. Those things, you know, shaking somebody's hand is not going to make you make you a man, per se. It's all of it together. It's you practicing your way as you do the inner work of what Kevin and Joseph specifically are saying to the men.
Mm-hmm. Several good points. I heard you're saying men eat meat. You didn't say that, but I was like, eat meat, man.
It's a fact.
I'm on board.
So many good points. And I see so many men who are emasculated by the ladies in their lives. And then after a while, they're almost a willing participant because there's some philosophies out in the world that if we want to be really understanding and tolerant and patient, then it's sort of almost as synonymous with emasculation sometimes. But no. And I want to pivot to go over a principle that may at first be hard to understand and reconcile, but it needs some biblical attention. I'm gonna compare and contrast Genesis 3 and 1 Peter 3. I'll let Joseph read that one. But in Genesis 3, it tells us of the serpent deceiving Eve and so on, and she introduced Adam to the forbidden fruit and so on. And then in verse, let me pull it up. Verse 14, since the serpent was the first violator and Eve became, well, in this terminology, is the second violator and Adam became the third violator, then God addressed each in that order. He said, snake, you're going to crawl around on your belly and you're going to eat dust. And there's going to be enmity between you and the women. Ladies and most ladies out there are probably afraid of snakes. Some are cowgirls and they'll step on a snake's head, no problem. Anyway, and then he turns to Eve and he says, Eve, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in conception. In pain you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. We've talked about that on our podcast. And then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Now listen, audience. Don't think me a brute. So men need to listen to their wives, and they need situations where they don't listen to their wives. Same thing with wives. Same thing, because the husbands in their lives are complete idiots sometimes, if not more than 50% of the time. I'm just saying. And so same goes, but God cursed the agricultural results of the earth because of Adam listened to his wife. Because, not she was the wife, it's because she was doing the will of Satan at that point. And so men, we have to have some backbone. If our wives are having opinions or actions or behaviorals or attitudinals or verbals or standards that are not, doesn't correlate with the Bible, then you better not listen. But I hear me clearly. I am not giving you license to be a brute. I am not giving you a license to be mouthy. I am not giving you a license to run her down and to dishonor her. I am not giving you a license to be a drill sergeant and a know-it-all. And I am not giving you a license to be unkind in any of those things. As a matter of fact, if we don't listen to our wives, it could be a situation, but there's other scriptures that say if we don't hear her, Joseph's going to read a scripture in 1 Peter 3 that I'm convinced, going back to some scriptures in Proverbs and others, that understanding word that he will read means hearing, and that we have the same spiritual tension, and if we don't hear our wives properly, then it's going to affect our spiritual state of being. But then again, Genesis 3, if we listen to our wives, so how do we compare and contrast those scriptures? The same way wives compare and contrast with their husbands. If their husbands are idiots and standing for the wrong thing, they can't support those decisions, and vice versa. Men, but we have been sold a bill of goods that we have to do. In a lot of cases, if we're emasculated or if we're unisex, we don't know if we're male or female, we're going to always do what the woman tells us to do, and we're going to be worst off for it. Now that might be controversial, but it's the truth. And only God can tell us which side of the fence to land on when. We can't use our own wisdom because our hearts are deceptive, our perception is deceptive. But to make my point, and Laura, this is one of the reasons I want you here, because maybe I'm being too male. I'm not trying to be, but Joseph, read that scripture and that sure. alludes to the fact that if we're not listening to our wives, if we're not understanding our wives, then that's a travesty. That hurts us spiritually.
Yeah. So Peter addresses the church and he talks first to slaves, then to wives, and then to husbands. He says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wife. Or he's talking to husbands and using plural and wives as plural, not many wives, and treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, another translation will say, live with your wife in an understanding way as with the weaker vessel, because she is a woman. Now, a lot of modern ears will cringe and say, oh, that's very offensive. But no, what he's doing is he's doing this in love and respect, because he then goes on to say, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. So we have to, and I use this with couples. I say, you guys have to live with each other in an understanding way. You have wives, you have to understand your husbands. Husbands, you have to understand your wives. Because if you don't, then you're going to be living in this land of confusion and everyone's going to be offended, upset. You're doing it wrong. No, you're doing it wrong. And what we have is an imbalance. And we're fighting each other. So I love what you guys are saying, because, you know, there is confusion and we need to bring people back to what God's word says, his design. We've already tried the world's design and we're seeing that they're failing. It's creating, it's breeding chaos, and it's by design. The enemy of our soul needs that chaos so that we won't have a relationship with God. It's by design, because he knows that if he can remove the man from the family, he can destroy the family. And if he knows that he can destroy the family, he can destroy society. And what breeds after that is discontent, anger, hurts. You know, we're going to have people that are going to come up with their own standards. We see that already. And with those own standards comes failure. But,
you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm starting to see a change because people are going back to the Bible. They're going back to God's word. They're saying, this isn't working.
Thank heavens. No, thank heavens. Yeah, I like that. There's the good news, right? Yeah. I was thinking that what you're both saying is it's both and. It's both what Kevin said, that you shouldn't listen to your wife, and it's what Joseph said regarding the scriptures. So what's the difference? Well, we go back to the scripture in Genesis 3, and the Lord God says to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, here's the part, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, we have to be scripturally sound.
Mm-hmm.
You see, gentlemen, if you don't know the scriptures, then you can be talked into anything.
Right.
But when you understand the word of God and you become rooted in the word of God, then you will not be moved when it doesn't matter who it is, wants you to do something that God has commanded you to do or not to do. And that is, gentlemen, your power, knowing the Lord and knowing his word. Because again, God didn't fault Adam for what Eve did. God faulted Adam because he did not take leadership.
Right.
He did not take his the role of masculinity that he was afforded. Because, you know, remember, we're made in the image and likeness of God. Mm-hmm. And we know that God, you know, he is He is strong. He is mighty. He's the Lion of Judah, right? He's the captain of the angel armies. I mean, he is, you think about his angels of what they can accomplish. They can wipe out, what is it, 127,000, you know, at one stroke, right? But, you know, one of the things I love is that, you know, it's believed that one of the names of God, El Shaddai, Shad means breast, and that it's the place where we lay our head, where we get our nourishment, where we feel that nurturing. I love that because it's the dual nature of a God who's neither male nor female, and yet he's both, right? And because we're made out of his image and likeness. So I love what you both brought forward. It's both and. The only way, gentlemen, that you can know when to not listen to your wife is to know when she's moving, as Eve did, in a direct commandment, you know, against the Lord.
Yes. And I want to add to that a principle I call the red dress and the blue dress syndrome. If there's a difference of an opinion about something that is a like or dislike, and it doesn't matter. It's not against scripture. It's not against. It's just, you know, I have husbands that I talk to that want to suggest to their wives what to wear. Oh, that's too revealing. Oh, that's too that. Oh, that's too that dress. And I tell them, look, forget about it. If she wants to wear a red dress, why are you requiring her to wear a blue dress? Let her have her way. It's not against the law. It's not against God's principles. Forget about it. Why are you so controlling? Let's talk about your insecurity. Why do you have a need to control your wife? And so on and so on. And so I call it the red dress and the blue dress. There's some things we don't need to provide leadership on. I trust my wife completely. She is tasteful. She is dignified. She is classy. And I don't have to manage that stuff. And so we're not talking about the red and the blue dress leadership. We're talking about real leadership.
Absolutely.
And not arguing about the fine points that don't matter anyway.
Yeah. Laura, can you go ahead and start your ending thoughts with us today?
I think that what I've said is sufficient for a person if they really wanted to begin to navigate their way back. I would say to any man that has found himself without an identity that you would go back and listen to this podcast again and again and again, and you would draw near to the Lord so that you could question the Lord. In what areas have I never taken up my God-given masculinity, or where did I lay it down? Ask God to take you back to the place. Begin to practice what it is to be masculine. You know, if you have any role model, if you have never had a living role model, find a role model, right? Believe it or not, sometimes you can find a pattern of a pattern of a man or a father, you know, in the older sitcoms, you know. What we see, we're able to replicate. And so I would say, find a way to replicate something. Practice your way to success while you are learning the scriptures. By spending time with the Lord, become scripturally sound, by getting into small groups and men's groups, by, you know, investigating what are you eating? And you know, not just what you're eating physically or not eating, but what are you eating through your eye gates and your ears? What are you surrounding yourself with? What are you filling yourself with? Right? The messages in the world right now are so corrupted. You know, Ephesians 2 calls Satan the prince of the air. He's the god of this world. He's a small g god. It's that men have given him authority. It's that Adam rebelled against God. And in doing so, it's as if he gave Satan authority over him. Why? Because Satan knew, just as Adam knew, what God had commanded him not to do. Gentlemen, I'm going to say to you, listener, go back to God's original intention. It's wonderful what he designed for you. And he sent Jesus, the second and the last Adam, to restore what the first Adam lost. You are born on purpose to fulfill God's masculine role in this world. We need you. God, I'm speaking as a woman. We desperately need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. So if you're out of position, I call the men listening, get into position. It will not only fulfill your soul, but it will transform the world around you and it will glorify God.
Amen. I would like to resound that, so to speak, that our masculinity should be built upon the entirety of God's word, not just a Ephesians 5 thump the woman over the head mentality, but the entirety of God's word. And it takes time to mature with that. And so, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, he tells his ministers to teach the proper way, so to speak. So we're not deceived by the cunning craftiness of men or the vain philosophies, or we can't depend on the world to define our masculinity. We have to depend upon the word of God. And so I would also encourage the young men or men in general who need a good, healthy idea or some masculinity development to get with some older guys. Not the 18-year-olds. Don't get your advice from a 21-year-old or a 27-year-old. Get with the older guys who have a few gray hairs that have been through the school of hard knocks, that have perhaps have a successful family, or perhaps their family wasn't as successful in the past, and they're going on to having successful families and relationships now. They know through good and bad experiences what works and what doesn't work, and how to listen to a lady and to respect a lady, because perhaps they didn't do that and they paid the price, and so on and so on. So I would say to the guys wanting to learn some healthy masculinity to get with a God-fearing man, an older man who has some perspective on what to do and what not to do, and so on. And that's going to also contribute to your masculinity development.
I agree. Mentorship is huge. And not only that, but you need to be mentoring somebody else. So as you go through life, you're going to see young men that are going to be coming up, and they're going to need the help too. And actually the scriptures that I was going to read here at the end dovetail straight into it, because it's still 1 Peter chapter 5. And it's talking about the elders and the younger people. And it says in 1 Peter 5:5, it says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering." And so what Kevin and I and Laura are saying to you is that there is hope. There's hope not only in our future. We may not see our society go exactly the way that we want it, but we can effectively influence our realm of influence, whether it's our families, our friends. So Be eager to learn. Be eager to put yourself under authority. Don't be proud. Be humble. And look for ways, look for people in your life that you can turn to. And if you're having trouble with that, you can contact us. I suggest first finding a Bible-believing church. There's a lot of people who have struggled. They've made mistakes. They've learned from those mistakes, and they are on the track of doing what God has asked us as men to do. They're going to be in places like that. If you're going to look for it out in the world, you're going to miss it, because what you're lacking is a good direction to go in. So find a Bible believing church that you can be a part of. You can reach out to us and we can help you, but you need people that are going to be walking with you step by step, who's in your lives in a weekly, if not daily, time frame, so that you have the covering, you have the encouragement, and you have the character to continue. And so we need to have others in our lives to do that. And so we want to encourage you with that.
Men, we have the challenge and the opportunity to not let the ladies outman us. We need to man up, and we can't let the mothers out dad us or out father us. It's time for us to take back our God identity and start doing our job. And there's going to be a rebirth of happiness and joy when we get into the correct roles and start doing our jobs.
Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.